Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? We have a quorum present to conduct business. Our chaplain today is Reverend Bob Palmer. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Our prayer today takes its content from the proclamation of President George Bush, declaring today as the first of three national days of thanksgiving. Let us pray. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious, for his mercy endures forever. With the words of the psalmist, we give thanks to our Heavenly Father for the swift and decisive victory in Operation Desert Storm. We remember and pray for all those who made the ultimate sacrifice in this conflict, and pray for a full recovery to those wounded in action. We also pray for the innocent men, women, and children who have suffered as a result of the conflict in the Gulf. We pray that our nation may emerge from this conflict stronger and more united to face as one united people the challenges and opportunities before us. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, and thou reignest over all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Amen.
Let's see. Representative Mary Miller, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread across the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the legislative journal for the 73rd and the 74th legislative day?
I certify as to the correctness of the House journals for the 73rd and 74th legislative days, the Senate and House joint supplement number 14.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journals for the 73rd and 74th legislative days, plus House and Senate joint supplement number 14, be approved.
Are there any objection as to the correctness of that journal or the supplement? Hearing none, the journals and the supplements stand approved. Guest for introduction today, Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Gallery A, I'd like to introduce two teachers from Fairbanks with the NEA fly-in, Gail Harbo and Claudia Douglas, who's also the Vice President of NEA Alaska.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Back in Gallery B, dear friend of mine of many years in Ketchikan and a teacher who has also here for the fly-in, I'm sure, and that's my good friend Phil Meyerton sitting in the back.
Representative Carney, were you seeking the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I have a constituent from the Matsu Borough flying with NEA, Sandy Pevin. Please help me welcome her.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two teachers that are friends, believe it or not. we did have a feisty discussion on the needs of children, and we understand each other. I'd like to introduce you and take pleasure in introducing Mr. Bob Boyd and Marie Mardrox.
Representative Lehman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Hanley and I have three teachers from our district that are here today, Thais Thomas, Belinda Daniels, and Yvonne Richardson, and I'd like to welcome them.
Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to introduce three of my closest friends in Fairbanks, and what gives me the most pleasure in introducing them is probably that it'll show all of you who have concerns about my private sector affiliations that I actually do know a few private sector folks and don't really live off the mental health folks around the state. But it gives me great pleasure to introduce, first of all, Jay and Patty Pearsall, Pearsall Architects from Fairbanks. Welcome. And also Melissa Bidwell, who runs a small company, a business management firm called MB Management. Melissa? Thank you.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Jackal?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce some people from the Dillingham area. Teachers Bill Darling and teacher Marilyn Rosine. And I would also like to introduce Teacher of the Year for the State of Alaska, Jenny Hill, also from Dillingham. Please help. Mr. Speaker, there are several other guests over in Gallery A that I would like to introduce. From Iliamna, I'd like to introduce Edna Foss and Alice Hedlund.
Representative Gail Phillips, were you seeking the floor?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I'd like to introduce two teachers from Soldotna Elementary School, Carol Smith and Susan Lehner.
Representative Randy Phillips.
Viola Phillips here. Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, a good friend of mine and a constituent of Representative Mary Miller and myself, Dave Schwantz, who's with NEA Fly-In.
Any further? Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Brown and I have a good friend from downtown Anchorage who's here with the NEA Teacher Fly-In this weekend. In Gallery A, Shirley Ireton. And also, Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, two close friends of mine, Leslie Vandergaw and Nina Benito Romine.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we go back up to excused absences.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One member is off the floor today, and I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative McLean be excused from the call of the House from 10 a.m. today to plain time April 9.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, Representative McLean is excused from the call of the House. Any further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Message dated April 4. I have read the following resolution and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 17, designated April 14 through 20, 1991, as Bone Marrow Donor Week, Legislative Resolve Number 7. Message dated April 4. On this date, I've signed the following bill and transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 21 relating to the crime of criminal mischief, Chapter Number 2, SLA 1991. Message dated April 3. On this date, I've signed the following bill and are transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 41, Finance Amended, relating to an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for maintenance of Class 3 roads and other purposes, amending certain appropriations, making appropriations, and providing for an effective date. Chapter 1, SLA 1991. Under the authority of Article 2, Section 15 of the Alaska Constitution, I have vetoed the appropriations contained in the following sections, and these are referenced. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The following has been passed for consideration and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 5, Judiciary, by the Senate Judiciary Committee, relating to the expansion of youth courts currently used in Anchorage to other areas of the state.
Two standing committees, Health, Education, and Social Services, and the Judiciary Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 163, Finance amended by the Senate Finance Committee, and act relating to the budget and finances of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority.
The Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any communications that should come before this body?
The following report is on file in the Speaker's office from the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Medical Assistance, the annual report for FY90. And we have several letters of disclosure that have been received in accordance with AS 2460 and will appear in House Journal Supplement number 5. No further communications, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down on the daily order of business to reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee has considered the following appointments to the Board of Fisheries, Irving R. Carlisle, recommending confirmation, Davidson, Lincoln, Lehman, Hudson, Carney, and Moyer. To the Board of Fisheries, Kenneth L. Wardwell, recommending against confirmation, Lincoln, Lehman, and Carney. With no recommendation, Davidson and Moyer. Reports were signed by Representative Davidson, Chairman. The HESS Committee has considered HCR 20, Sudden Infant Death Syndrome Awareness, recommends due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, C. Davis, Mary Miller, Hanley, B. Davis, Gonzalez, Carney, and Lincoln. Report was signed by Lincoln, co-chairman. HCR 20 has no further referral. State Affairs Committee has considered HCR 29, Commending U.S. Persian Gulf Troops, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 29 State Affairs with the same title and due pass. Attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Kabina, Moyer, Choquette, Bruckman, Baker, Mike Miller, and Gruenberg. The report was signed by Kabina, Chairman. HCR 29 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Rules Committee has considered Committee Substitute for House Bill 9, HESS, title amended, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 9, Rules, with the same title and due pass. Signing, due pass, Ellis, Donnelly, and Gruenberg. Signing, do not pass, Taylor. With no recommendation, Grusendorf and Martin. Report was signed by Ellis, Chairman. HR 9 has no further referral. Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 81, publication of municipal foreclosure list, and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 81, CNRA, with the same title, due pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Baker, B. Davis, Gonzalez, C. Davis, and Mackey. With no recommendation, Foster. Report was signed by Mackey, Chairman. HB 81 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 102, lower alcohol limit to 0.08, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for House Bill 102 Judiciary with the same title and due pass, attaches two fiscal notes. Signing due pass, Martin, Hanley, Mike Miller, Parnell, Ellis, Donnelly, and Gruenberg. Report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. HB 102 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 111, loans secured by limited entry permits, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for House Bill 111, L&C, with the same title, sends it back with individual recommendations, attaches 2-0 fiscal notes. Signing, due pass, Parnell, Ivan, and Finkelstein. With no recommendations, Zawacki, Taylor, and Bruckman. The report was signed by Finkelstein, Chairman. House Bill 111 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 139, Recognition of Pollution Prevention, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for House Bill 139, HESS, with a new title and due pass. Signing, due pass, Davidson, Moyer, Lehman, Lincoln, Carney, and Finkelstein. Report was signed by Davidson, Chairman. House Bill 139 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Resources Committee has considered House Bill 143, Municipal Land Grant Selection. Recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for House Bill 143 Resources with the same title and has no recommendations. Signing due pass, Carney and Lincoln. With no recommendation, Davidson, Moyer, and Lehman. The report was signed by Davidson, Chairman. House Bill 143 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The HESS Committee has considered House Bill 146, Property Division and Divorces and Annulments. Recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for House Bill 146, HESS, with a new title and due pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, C. Davis, Hanley, B. Davis, Gonzalez, Carney, and Lincoln. Report was signed by Lincoln, co-chairman. House Bill 146 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The HESS Committee has considered House Bill 163, Extend Board of Psychologist Examiners, recommends it be replaced with a CS for House Bill 163, HESS, with a new title, Due Pass adopts a Hess letter of intent and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing Due Pass, Lincoln, Carney, Gonzalez, Davis, Hanley, Mary Miller, and C. Davis. Report was signed by Lincoln, co-chairman. House Bill 163 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 164, extend Board of Dental Examiners, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for 164 Hess with the same title and Due Pass. Attaches two Hess letter of intents and a zero fiscal note. Signing Due Pass, Lincoln, Carney, Gonzalez, B. Davis, Hanley, C. Davis, excuse me, Hanley, and M. Miller. Signing no recommendation, C. Davis. The report was signed by Lincoln co-chair. HB 164 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 179, Disabled Vets, Free Use of State Parks, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for House Bill 179 MLV with the same title and Due Pass. Signing Due Pass, Davidson, Lincoln, Lehman, Moyer, Carney, and Finkelstein. Report was signed by Davidson, chairman. House Bill 179 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 191, Early Childhood Intervention Services, and recommends Due Pass and attaches three fiscal notes. Signing Due Pass, Foster, B. Davis, Mackey, and C. Davis. With no recommendation, Baker and Gonzalez. The report was signed by Mackey, chairman. House Bill 191 has a further referral to the Hess Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 99, Investment Pools for Public Entities, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for House Bill 199, CRA, with the same title, has no recommendation, attaches 2-0 fiscal notes. Signing Due Pass, Mackey and B. Davis. With no recommendation, Foster, Baker, C. Davis, and Gonzalez. Report was signed by Mackey, chairman. House Bill 199 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 207, Village Safe Water Program, recommends Due Pass and attaches 2-0 fiscal notes. Signing Due Pass, B. Davis, Baker, Mackey, C. Davis, Gonzalez, and Foster. Report was signed by Mackey, chairman. House Bill 207 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 214, State Aid for Nonprofit Health Facilities, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute for House Bill 214 Hess with the same title and Due Pass, attaches a fiscal note. Signing Due Pass, C. Davis, Hanley, Carney, and Lincoln. With no recommendation, Mary Miller, B. Davis, Gonzalez. The report was signed by Lincoln, co-chair. House Bill 214 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 230, Hepatitis B Testing and Vaccinations. It recommends Due Pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report signing Due Pass, C. Davis, Mary Miller, B. Davis, Gonzalez, Carney, and Lincoln. With no recommendation, Hanley. Report was signed by Lincoln co-chair. House Bill 230 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 Hess, Health Resources and Access Task Force. Recommends it be replaced with the House Committee Substitute Finance with the same title, has no recommendation, attaches a fiscal note. Signing Due Pass, Navarre, Brown, and Ulmer. With no recommendation, McLean, Barnes, Sharp, Phillips, and Larson. With signing, amend Kopanen. Report was signed by co-chairs Navarre and McLean. SCR 10 has no further referral. The Hess Committee has considered SCR 11, Take Pride in Sobriety Proclamation, and recommends it be replaced with the House Committee Substitute Hess with the same title and Due Pass. Signing Due Pass, B. Davis, C. Davis, Gonzalez, Carney, and Lincoln. Report was signed by Lincoln, co-chair. SCR 11 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any reports from special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to introduction of citations. 1 minute. Representative Ivan.
Mr. Speaker, request we move back up to introduction of guests.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce Grant Kashatuk in Gallery A. He's a senior at UAF majoring in education, and he's down here in Juneau to talk with legislators about programs at the University of Alaska for Alaska Native students. Please help me welcome him.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask my colleagues to help me join in welcoming Bruce Garrett. He is here with the NEA group, and he's a real good friend and a real nice guy. Bruce?
Garrett.
Mr. Majority Leader, 1 minute here, 1 minute. Under introduction of guests, in Gallery A, we have the President of the National Public Radio and also the Vice President of the National Public Radio, Doug Bennett and Midge Ramsey. Would you help me welcome them here to Juneau? Would the House stand at ease? Okay. Under introduction of guests, Representative Navarre. Further introduction of guests, Representative Hanley.
Yes, also in Gallery A with Alaska Public Radio Network is Diane Kaplan.
Do you have anything to do with writers in the sky and click and clack? Okay. Any further guests for introduction? Okay, this drops us back down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Cuspuck School District Elders Conference by Representative Lincoln and Senator Hoffman. Citation honoring the 25th anniversary of the Gastineau Human Services Corporation by Representatives Hudson, Ulmer, and Senator Duncan. Honoring the City of Vladivostok by Representatives Hudson and Ulmer and Senator Duncan.
These citations will be referred to rules for calendaring.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 25 by Representative Kubina relating to the rebuilding of the historic Copper River Railroad between Cordova and Chitna by the State of Alaska.
Two standing committees, Transportation and the Resources Committee.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 26 by Representatives McLean, Baker, Barnes, Boyer, Brown, Bruckman, Carney, Choquette, Davidson, B. Davis, C. Davis, Donnelly, Ellis, Finkelstein, Foster, Gonzalez, Gruenberg, Hudson, Ivan, Jacko, Koponen, Kubina, Larson, Lincoln, Mackey, Martin, M. W. Miller, Moyer, Parnell, G. Phillips, Sharp, Taylor, Ulmer, and Zawacki, relating to the state transportation system.
The Transportation Committee, as well as Finance.
House Joint Resolution Number 39 by Representatives Foster and McLean, relating to a bowhead whale allocation for the City of Diomede.
The Resources Committee.
I have no further resolutions, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 260 by Representative Boyer, an act relating to revenue bonds issued by the University of Alaska and approving the issuance of revenue bonds for construction of a student recreation center at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
House Bill 261 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor with a letter, a fiscal note, and a zero fiscal note. An act relating to geographic pay differentials, certain annual salary surveys, and preparation of an annual pay schedule relating to items not subject to collective bargaining under the Public Employment Relations Act and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Labor and Commerce, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 262 by Representative R. Phillips. An act relating to persons under 21 years of age.
That'll be referred to the Hess Committee, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to today's calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar?
House Bill 213 by Representatives Gruenberg, Koponen, Moyer, McLean, Ulmer, Brown, and B. Davis. An act requiring the governor to notify the legislature about settlement negotiations on Exxon Valdez oil spill claims, requiring the governor to submit proposed settlements of those claims to the legislature for review, restricting the power of the governor to settle claims arising from the Exxon Valdez oil spill relating to the confidentiality of settlement negotiations and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee has considered the bill, recommends due pass. Signing due pass, McLean, Navarre, Boyer, Koponen, Jacko, Brown, and Ulmer. With no recommendation, R. Phillips, Barnes, Sharp, and Larson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having one committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Finance Committee substitute for HB 213.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the CS Finance? Hearing none, the committee substitute Finance has been adopted. Mr. Minority Leader?
Yeah, brief at ease, please.
Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order?
before the IDs, we had adopted the Finance Committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I call the House on both bills and all motions.
The House has been called. We do have the bill before us in second reading. It is available for amendments. Does the clerk have any amendments pending upon her desk?
I have one coming.
Okay, we have an amendment coming. Well, being that we're... Has the call been satisfied? Okay. We do not have an amendment pending on this bill here, so would the House stand at ease under the call of the House until the call... Will the House come back to order? Before the IDs, we had the bill before us in second reading, available for amendment. The House has been called and the call has been satisfied. Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Hearing objection. Are you ready for the question? Representative
Speaker.
Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We do not object, sir, with the potential of misunderstanding something and perhaps a amendment. I'd like to ask the Majority Leader two major questions, if I may, before we forward.
Proceed, Representative Martin.
First, so in the title itself, I'm concerned in line two, where we said subsidiaries arising out of the Valdez oil spills. I want to have a clearer understanding. Are we to be notified if local governments make settlements like the Valdez people or Cordova or Kodiak? Are they now going to be limited in their settlements according to notification to the state legislature, number one? And number two, I'm worried about the current settlement that we do have now, and that perhaps is it too late for the settlement, the concurrent settlement, and what do we do about that? But mostly the subsidiary, what rights do we have to say who can or cannot make settlements?
Okay, the motion is to advance to third reading. There's been a question that has been asked. I assume that possibly may lead to an amendment, so Mr. Majority Leader.
I would prefer, if there are any other questions, that I take my answers all at once, if there are any other questions. Okay. Just on those two issues raised by my colleague from District 13, the word subsidiary refers to subsidiaries of Exxon Corporation. It doesn't refer to political subdivisions of the state. And the subsidiaries that are being dealt with in the current constellation of agreements include Exxon Shipping, which is Exxon's shipping corporation, and also, and that is what's called an in personam action against, it's actually against the parent corporation Exxon and the subsidiary Exxon Shipping. And there's what's called an in rem action also against the tanker vessel Exxon Valdez, which name's now Exxon something else. But that's what the term subsidiaries. The specific answer to Mr. Martin's question is that no local government will have to bring its settlement before the legislature. That is not the intent. That's not the way it's written. Second question, is it too late to cover the current settlement? The answer is no. And Section 2 of the bill, which is found on page 2, lines 5 through 7, specifically says that the state may not bind itself with regard to the proposed settlement in 1-3, which is at lines 3 and 4 on page 2, that the present proposed settlement, that's what it means, unless the legislature gives its assent to the settlement through a concurrent resolution. So it is not too late. The governor has said he would do it. The documents themselves, however, do not require that it be done, and if the members will look at their bill packets, they'll see the consent decree, page 26, paragraph 37, just simply says that the government reserves the right to withdraw. This will make certain that the government must withdraw. I hope that answers my friend's questions.
Okay, we still have the objection to the advancement motion before us. Are you ready for the question on the advancement motion? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 213 Finance be advanced to third reading? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Would the clerk open the roll for Mr. Majority Leader there? Would the clerk close the roll? Does anybody desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
26 yeas, 13 nay.
Okay, committee substitute for House Bill 213 Finance will appear in third reading on the next calendar, which will be Monday's. Would the clerk take the next item on the calendar?
House Bill 144 by the House Finance Committee, an act providing for legislative disapproval for certain proposed settlements of litigation by the Attorney General. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 144 and recommends it be replaced with a CS for House Bill 144 Judiciary, recommended due pass. Signing due pass, Donnelly, Gruenberg, Ellis, Parnell. With no recommendation, Mike Miller, Martin, and Hanley. The Finance Committee has also considered the bill and recommended a CS Finance with a new title. Recommended due pass. Signing due pass, Navarre, Brown, Copeland, Barnes, R. Phillips, Ulmer, and McLean. With no recommendation, Sharp and Larson. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having two committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Finance CS for HB 144.
Are there any objection as the adoption of the CS Finance? Hearing none, the committee substitute Finance has been adopted. Would the clerk please make reference to Amendment Number 1?
Amendment Number 1 by Hanley to page 2, line 13, etc., has been distributed.
Okay. Representative Hanley?
I move Amendment Number 1.
Hearing objection, proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, we had a debate in the Judiciary Committee over the level of that should require legislative review. Initially, it started at $100 million. It was revised down to $1 million, and then $10 million was what was, I guess, agreed upon in the committee, although I don't think there was a lot of justification for that. And we had asked questions about the number of settlements we have each year, how many there are. The only indication we got was that potentially as much as 70% of the litigation is settled rather than going to court. And I think you have to look at the whole procedure is, do we want to settle claims or do we want to litigate claims all the time? And my concern is that $10 million may be too low, particularly when we're considering including the value of attorney's fees and total appropriations. So I had made the amendment to put it back to $100 million, which would be the large cases, still allow the administration the flexibility to negotiate on the smaller ones.
Representative Palmer, Amendment Number 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason for my objection to this amendment is because after reviewing a number of the cases which have been settled in Alaska's history, I think that the $10 million is a better reflection of the threshold at which the legislature should take a serious look at what is being proposed. And I guess I'll just use a couple of illustrations in recent past. The Cleary case, which dealt with a settlement pertaining to how prisoners are treated in Alaska's correctional system, probably would not have triggered the $100 million threshold of review, which is proposed in Amendment Number 1 and proposed in the original version of House Bill 144. It's hard to exactly know how much money will be involved over time by that lawsuit, but I think if at the time that the administration negotiated that settlement, it had tried to come up with a figure, it probably would have been in excess of $10 million, but less than $100 million. But it illustrates, I think, the kind of question that has broad sweeping policy implications, which the legislature should play a role in reviewing prior to the final adoption of it, which would be excluded by Amendment Number 1. I admit that $10 million is a somewhat arbitrary amount. $100 million is arbitrary. $1 million is arbitrary. I guess it kind of is a reflection of what the legislature feels is an appropriate trigger. I do feel that the $10 million, which came out of a discussion in the Judiciary Committee, is a more appropriate number than the $100 million. Mr. Speaker, if I might have just a little bit of latitude in terms of allowing members to understand what this threshold might do, I have to address myself very briefly to the bill itself, if I may. The bill itself requires legislative approval of settlements that involve an appropriation. But I would argue that is no different, really, than the status quo, in the sense that Alaska's Constitution only gives to the Alaska legislature the power to appropriate. And so we see in every year's budget and in every year's supplemental appropriation a list of lawsuits which have been settled by the Attorney General requiring the legislature to appropriate the money to make that settlement final. So I would say, in a sense, this bill is a restatement by the legislature in a statute of what the Constitution currently requires and what, by and large, the administration does right now when it submits through either the budget or the supplemental appropriation a requirement that a settlement be appropriated. What this bill does beyond that is provide a voluntary mechanism for the legislature through a resolution to express its opinion on whether or not the terms of the agreement are going to be approved or not. I want to draw members' attention to Section 5, which describes, through the resolution process, how the legislature, with a non-binding resolution, will express whether or not the legislature feels as though the proposed settlement is appropriate. That mechanism, to which Amendment Number 1 speaks, whether the threshold is $10 million or $100 million, I want to point out, is a voluntary mechanism. As you know, the legislature cannot bind the governor through a resolution. That has been litigated in the state of Alaska, Bradner v. State, when the legislature tried to disapprove regulations through a resolution. The court ruled we couldn't do that. So the resolution mechanism, which is provided for in Section 5, is a voluntary process. It is a way in which the legislature can express to the litigants and to the governor, to the attorney general, whether or not the legislature feels as though it is appropriate. Only when the appropriation is issued by the legislature does a settlement become final anyway, whether it's $300,000 or $300 million. So this threshold addressed in Amendment Number 1, I would argue, does not really deal with the appropriation issue. It deals with the voluntary resolution issue, which is addressed in Section 5. Again, as to why I think $10 million is better than $100 million, settlements like the Cleary lawsuit illustrate the extent to which the legislature may have a continuing obligation to pay for the terms and conditions of a settlement over time. And yet the legislature is not involved in looking at that settlement as a package. It only gets to sort of dribble in and dribble out of the decision-making process over time, each time a new appropriation is required to implement that settlement. So this organizes that decision. It allows the legislature to look at it as a package before that final settlement comes down, and I would argue for that reason the $10 million figure is a more appropriate one. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I rise in opposition to this amendment, but I would like to correct for the record a statement that was just made by the representative from Juneau. And the lawsuit that does not allow us to correct something by resolution, regulation by resolution, was the Alive decision rather than the Bradner decision. I believe that was in 1977. Mr. Speaker, if I had my way, I would have in here that any amount that was negotiated that was money to be drawn from the, or binding on the state treasury, has to be appropriated and approved of by the legislature. I feel very strongly that once the legislative body allows the administration or any other person or group of people to negotiate away their power, and that's what you do if they make a settlement that requires the legislature to appropriate money, you are therefore giving away a constitutional power. There are a few powers the legislature has. The right to appropriate is one absolute power under the Constitution. And for that reason, I believe that we should not have a $10 million figure or a $100 million figure. We should say any amount that is negotiated on our behalf has to be brought forth to the legislature for settlement. I remember 2 years ago we had a $16,000 settlement by the AG that many of us were very upset about, because we felt that if you were going to settle and pay attorney fees for one, you had to do it for both. In addition to that, quite often DOT has settlements that they make because of one problem that has arisen or another, and they settle that, and it requires us to then appropriate money to pay those settlements, and they're nowhere near $10 million. I do not believe that any branch of government has the right to bind us, whether it be the judiciary or the administrative branch, to any provisions that would violate Article 9, Section 13 of the Constitution.
Representative Hudson, Amendment Number 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question that I have, I believe that in this whole reign here, we're talking about court settlements or something like that, but it seems to me like it would apply also to a negotiated labor contract or any other settlement that would require some sort of a major funds, and like a 5% cost of living would be, in some cases, up to $30 million a year alone. And I'm wondering if we really have taken that into consideration in this bill.
Representative Sharp.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Another question I would like clarified a little better is, starting with line 13 on page 3, does the dollar limit, whatever it may end up being, apply to Section 442380, or it would all and any claims have to be reported by on purchase agreements, procurement, small contracts, overruns, and that type of thing?
Yeah, the representative is straying from Amendment Number 1, but the question is a sound question that should be kept in mind. Representative Ulmer?
In answer to the two previous questions, first of all, with regard to the reporting requirement that begins on section or page 3, line 13, the reports on settlements of claims would be all claims, not $10 million or above. And claim is defined on line 28 on that same page as a demand for payment of money, goods, or services based on a legal cause of action. So those would be all claims, legal claims against the state of Alaska. In response to the question before that, it would not cover labor negotiations, as they would not be it would not be litigation. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader, would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had Amendment Number 1 before us. And under debate, Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could just draw the attention of the body to page 2 of the bill, hopefully on a wrap-up on amendment number 1. If you'll look at section 4, you will see that the Department of Administration is being precluded from paying any settlement of any amount unless there's a specific legislative appropriation for it. This speaks to the point that the minority whip raised earlier, and that is that under Alaska's constitution, nobody has the authority to appropriate money other than the legislature. So this will clarify, the new language in Section 4 will clarify that any time that a check is written to pay out in response to a settlement, there has to be a specific appropriation for it. And by and large, as I mentioned before, this is the current practice. It is certainly the practice for the Department of Law. It is arguably not always the practice for the Department of Transportation or the University or perhaps some of the other departments. So this will clarify that point. But back to Section 5 and the question as to whether you want a $10 million threshold or a $100 million threshold, I'd just like the members to look at lines 25 and 26, actually 23 through 26. The governor shall submit the agreement within 15 days. So the governor is obligated to submit the proposed settlement to the legislature. However, the legislature may advise the governor by concurrent resolution if it approves or disapproves. The legislature is not being required in all instances to go through this process. A process is being provided for the legislature to express its opinion terms. So I guess what I'm saying with regard to the $10 million versus $100 million, even at the $10 million threshold, if the proposed settlement is not a controversial one, if after the governor submits it to the legislature, no one feels as though it is a particularly a settlement with a lot of policy implications, the legislature doesn't even have to go forward with the resolution process. What will happen by course will be that there will be an item in the appropriation measure, either in the budget or in the supplemental, to fund it. And if it is not a problem, it won't have a difficult time getting the appropriation from the legislature. This is a voluntary mechanism for the legislature. It is mandatory that the governor submit it for our review. So I would encourage members to vote no on amendment number 1, to keep the lower threshold, and to assure that when these major settlements, again, a settlement is a private process. If you go to court, if you litigate it, it's in public. A settlement is not necessarily a public process. And if for these major cases of above $10 million, the legislature feels a public process of review through the committees and through the resolution is necessary, this mechanism will allow the public to see what is being proposed in the settlement, allow an opportunity for full debate, and then the finalization through the appropriation process. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further debate on amendment number 1? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 1 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
11 yeas, 28 nays.
Amendment number 1 has failed adoption. Would the clerk make reference to amendment number 2?
Amendment number 2 by Representatives Gruenberg and Ulmer has been distributed.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's a technical thing. It should be to the Finance Committee substitute, of course, not the Judiciary Committee substitute, and I'd ask unanimous consent that be technically corrected. With that, I would offer the amendment, moving the amendment and explaining very briefly. This is a technical amendment, and it was prompted by the first question from the representative from Juneau, the former Commissioner of Administration. It's clear that the definition of claim really should apply in both Section 070 and 080, not just in Section 080, and this makes sure that the definition applies in both sections, because the term claim appears in Section 070 as well, for example, on page 2, line 16. And a claim is a legal cause of action. It's not a contract negotiation or something like that. It's if there's a legal cause of action and it's settled, and it's just a technical amendment. I'd ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to amendment number 2? Hearing objections, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question to the maker of this amendment, if I may. Where it says legal cause of action, my question to you is, if a negotiation for settlement never went to court or no court papers was filed, would you still consider that a legal cause of action?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes.
Are the objections maintained to amendment number 2? Are objections maintained? Hearing none, amendment number 2 has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the bill, that's Finance Committee substitute for HB 144, amended, be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there objections to the advancement motion? Hearing none, would the clerk give that bill its third reading?
CS for House Bill 144, Finance amended, an act providing for legislative appropriation of the terms of certain proposed settlements of claims, prohibiting the payment of those terms without an express appropriation, and requiring reports of settlements.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just have one question. I think philosophically for this bill, but I'm somewhat concerned about extending our powers too much so that we will not allow the normal procedures of government to proceed at a regular pace. My major concern has to do with Section 5, and I think there's an answer. Well, I know there's an answer for it. I just want to hear it, and it should be on record. Sometimes, you know, sir, the debate that goes on in floor are used later to determine the intent of the legislative body. So I think it's important. My major concern is that, you know, one session only 4 months out of the year, and to what degree will we want or what system will be set up to allow the administration to do its normal functions in settling legal claims? What about the interim? How are we going to handle that so that they may legitimately notify us within 15 days? Then what was the mechanism to notify them that everything's okay, or are we going to wait until the session, new legislature comes in session? Thank you.
Representative Ulmer.
Thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, if you'd address yourself to page 2, line 25, it does indicate that on that 15 days after the written agreement is executed, that the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate should be notified. That could take place even if we're not in session. Presumably, the Speaker and the President, if they feel, and if after consultation with the Governor and the Attorney General, feel as though time is of the essence for a major settlement, perhaps it would be appropriate to have a special session. My guess is that for the vast majority of circumstances, there would be no need for a special session, that it would be something that would be taken up when the legislature reconvenes in January. And I might note for most cases, again, we're only talking about in excess of $10 million in Section 5, of which there are very, very few settlements. For the vast majority of settlements, we're back under Section 4 of this bill, which is that the Department of Administration has to certify that there is a specific appropriation in some budget bill before the payment can be made. And again, I would bring to your attention that that is current law in Alaska. That is to say, the state of Alaska does not write out a check in settlement for a claim until the legislature is back in session and either through the supplemental or through the budget bill appropriates the money for the settlement of that claim. So it really should not in a dramatic way alter the way in which small settlements are paid even now? Thank you.
Information that's known to the chair with the typical procedure of something like this, such as a special session, the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House will poll the membership. I assume that the same procedure probably would be followed after discussions with the two presiding officers and legal counsel, that there probably would be a poll to determine if there's a necessity to meet. Any further debate? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very briefly, and because I feel so strongly about this, and I can think of at least two cases that have been settled out of court that have had such far-reaching implications for the state that we may never see the end of them. One, of course, was the Molly Hooch case that required the state to build a school in every village that had 10 or more kids, as I recall. And the Cleary decision. I think one of the things that we found with the Molly Hooch case, while it is wonderful to be able to have all the kids educated within the confines of the small communities, unless we find another Prudhoe Bay, I don't know how we're going to afford it. And as far as the Cleary suit goes, I recall that after the first negotiated part of that settlement in 1981, that the new jail at Third Avenue was being built, which is now the one where we hold prisoners until they're tried. And I had an occasion to go there to tour that facility, and because of the Cleary decision, they thought they had to order 12 professional-sized pool tables. It was the most preposterous thing I had ever heard of. And I do just want to read what our Constitution says, because we should all remember this when we're told from time to time that we have to do thus and so. Under Article 9, Section 13, it says, "No money shall be withdrawn from the Treasury except in accordance with appropriations made by law. No obligation for the payment of money shall be incurred except as authorized by law. Unobligated appropriations outstanding at the end of a period of time specified by law shall be void." This is one section of the Constitution that any legislator, be the Republican, Democrat, or whatever, should take very, very seriously and never allow yourself to get in a position of having that power of the legislature thwarted, because it is that power that means whether or not this state will have any long-term fiscal future because of negotiated out-of-court settlements.
Thank you, Representative Barnes. Any further debate? Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to comment on the previous points that were made. I agree, and I just want people to understand that I don't think we are bound by the Cleary decision or the Molly Hooch Act. If we did not appropriate money for those specific purposes, they would end up back in court again, essentially the same way as that's our way of disapproving those settlements right now. So we have that option available to us even without this bill.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 144, Finance Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we were working on the previous question, and the mechanized age failed us, so we're going to do a roll call on this by the clerk. It is in third reading. Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel compelled to just respond very briefly to the remarks that were made right before we tried to take a vote. The comment was that, well, we really have this power not to appropriate the money anyway, even without this bill. That is true in the sense that if we don't appropriate a particular item, the money isn't there in the budget to do something with it. But that is not the same as disapproving a settlement, because once the settlement has been approved, and after it's even been blessed by the court, if a, for example, Department of Corrections does not do something consistent with what Cleary demanded, the court could hold the Department of Corrections in contempt of court for not following through on it. And maybe the legislature would fund a portion of the appropriation in 1 year and not another portion in another year. So it would be very unclear as to whether or not the legislature had really intended to approve the settlement or not. So again, in terms of trying to understand where we are, yes, it's true. Right now, under Alaska's Constitution, there's no doubt in my mind that the appropriation is necessary. But without a mechanism as is provided for in House Bill 144 that will give notice, so to speak, to the litigants, both the state and the opposing party, that the legislature disapproves of the contents of the settlement, which will then allow the parties to go back to the bargaining table and perhaps come up with a more realistic solution that the legislature can support, there really isn't a good, clean way of being able to resolve these differences in a way where the legislature can become a party and can say, yes, we do think this makes sense, and yes, we will appropriate the money. So I do feel as though the bill is an appropriate and a very necessary part of involving the legislature early enough and putting the parties on notice early enough of whether or not we approve of the policy that is in the proposed settlement. So I would urge members, not just because I believe the Constitution requires it, but also because I think it will open up the settlement process in a way that will allow the public to review what is really going on in these settlements, these major settlements. Thank you.
No problem, though. Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? Now, please remember, do not jam your little finger on the button. This is going to be a roll call vote. The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 144 pass the House? Would the clerk call the roll?
Baker?
Yes.
Barnes?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Bruckman?
Yes.
Carney?
Yes.
Choquette?
No.
Davidson?
Yes.
B. Davis?
Yes.
C. Davis?
Yes.
Donnelly?
Yes.
Ellis?
Yes.
Finkelstein?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
No.
Gruenberg?
Yes.
Hanley?
No.
Hudson?
Yes.
Ivan?
Yes.
Jacko?
Yes.
Kopanen?
Yes.
Kubina?
Yes.
Larson?
No.
Lehman?
Yes.
Lincoln?
Yes.
Mackey?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
M. A. Miller?
Yes.
M. W. Miller?
Yes.
Moyer?
Yes.
Navarre?
Yes.
Parnell?
No.
G. Phillips?
Yes.
R. Phillips?
Yes.
Sharp?
Yes.
Taylor? Ulmer?
Yes.
Zawacki?
No.
Grusendorf?
Yes. Would the clerk tally the count?
Thirty-two yeas, seven nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 144, Finance. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? Okay, we have the tally. Committee substitute for House Bill 144 has passed the House. Citations, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have 7 citations on the calendar today. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that they be approved. The first honors Geraldyn Anderson and Tricia Chang. Second honors Michelle Pinard. Next honors boys and girls basketball teams at Palmer High. Next honors Cherie Clara Ferguson. Next in memoriam Sam Summerall next in memoriam, David Ray Phillips next in memoriam, Christine Pennington and Joanne Patterson.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the citations of today's calendar? Hearing no objections, all the citations stand approved. Representative Hanley, you were seeking the floor?
I'd just like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 144.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 144. Unfinished business? Representative Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we go back up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I have a member of my city council in North Poland. He's been a constituent for a long time, and he's also my father-in-law, Roland Peretti.
Representative Miller, when you asked to move up the calendar, boy, did one of my staffers scoot with her husband, Roger Seeley, but they were here. Any further guests for introduction? Representative Lehman.
I'll just look to see if anybody else was scooting. Mr. Speaker, a friend of mine from the Kenai Peninsula, Rich McGann, who's down here in fisheries businesses in Gallery A.
Further guests for introduction? This drops us back down to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have three other requests for excused absence. I move and ask unanimous consent the following members be excused from the call of the House. Representative Choquette from the afternoon of April 5 to morning plain time April 8. Representative Moyer from 4 p.m. April 11 to plain time April 15. And Representative Mackey from 6:40 a.m. April 9 to 2:30 p.m. plain time April 9. Same day.
Are there any objections? Objections, Representative Foster?
No, I was going to briefly go back to
introduction. Okay. Why don't you object? Hearing no objections to those people listed off by the majority leader from the call of the House, they are excused on those dates specified. Representative Foster.
In Gallery B, Erna, and I'm going to butcher her last name. I think it's Paskowitz. She was a House page here before, and now she's Miss Fur Rendezvous of this year, and she's back here with us this week, I understand, visiting in the governor's office. Gallery B, Erna.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative
yes.
Moyer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I see one of my staff has sneaked into the gallery. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, a junior, the intern in my office, Wes Hooper.
No further guests for introduction? Guests, Representative Navar? Unfinished business? Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee be allowed to waive the following bills. All have zero fiscal notes, and the next committee referral is rules. House Concurrent Resolution Number 6, relating to the Special Interagency Coordinating Committee on Schools. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 29, Military and Veterans Affairs, relating to the Persian Gulf conflict. And committee substitute for House Bill 169, Judiciary, an act relating to the issuance of search warrants and to transmittal of an affidavit in support of a search warrant by facsimile machine.
You've heard the motion to waive the following bills. Are there any objections? Okay, those bills are waived to the next committee for referral. Mr. Minority Leader?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd now bring up my reconsideration of House Bill 44.
House Bill 44. Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 44, Judiciary, an act relating to domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. The bill is before us under reconsideration and debate. Is there any debate? Would the House stand at ease?
Yeah.
Will the House come back to order? Before the ADs, we had House Bill, our committee substitute for House Bill 44 before us on reconsideration. The boards, of course, are down, so we will have to proceed with the roll call vote. Are there any discussion? Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had voted no on this proposition when it was last before the House and called it up for reconsideration so that I could have an opportunity to further review what I considered a weakness within the legislation, that being no definition of the term dating or the dating relationship, and I felt that was a bit broad. I have since had the opportunity and the privilege of working with the member from Juneau, who has assisted me in this matter, and though I agree that there still is probably not the level of clarification that I would like to have, I think that that certainly is a matter that the court can work out in its discretion. I'll be voting for the legislation today. Thank you very much.
Any further debate? I'm ready for the question. Remember, it'll be a roll call. The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 44 pass the House? Would the clerk call the roll?
Barnes?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Bruckman?
Yes.
Carney?
Yes.
Choquette?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
B. Davis?
Yes.
C. Davis?
Yes.
Donnelly?
Yes.
Ellis?
Yes.
Finkelstein?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Gruenberg?
Yes.
Hanley?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Ivan?
Yes.
Jacko?
Yes.
Kopanen?
Yes.
Kubina?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Lehman?
Yes.
Lincoln?
Yes.
Mackey?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
M. A. Miller?
Yes.
M. W. Miller?
Yes.
Moyer?
Yes.
Navarre?
Yes.
Parnell?
Yes.
G. Phillips?
Yes.
R. Phillips?
Yay.
Sharp?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Ulmer?
Yes.
Zawacki?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Grusendorf?
Yes. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally it?
39 yeas, 0 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 44 has passed the House on reconsideration. Unfinished business. Representative Kopanen.
Could we refer to the introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
In Gallery A, I have a constituent, Professor Jim Gladden, a professor of political science, here to observe how scientifically we do it.
Yes, for introduction. Proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've not had the pleasure of introducing any of my staff, my fine staff, to this body. In Gallery A is my chief of staff, Mr. Jim Moore.
Any further guests for introduction? Back down to unfinished business. Any further unfinished business to come before this body? Announcements of standing committees or special committees? Any committee announcements? General announcements? Representative Lincoln?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my efforts to educate my colleagues on, for those who are unfortunate enough to not reside in a rural area, I went to a play last night, and it was an opening night for In Two Worlds. It was absolutely excellent. It was a very humorous play, and I would encourage everybody to attend this. It tells a story about Native people living in the two worlds and very accurately depicts what has been occurring over time. The actors who are Tlingit, Haida, Upiat, Eskimo, Athabascan, tell a story. They have Native dancing and song in the whole play. They have the plays on Thursdays at 7:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock, and Sunday at 2 p.m. There's an $8 general admission and $4 for 18 and under, and I really encourage all of you to attend this. It's at the Merchants Wharf Theater, and it's just excellent, so I hope that you all attend so you get a little flavor of Bush, Alaska.
Any further announcements? Representative Ulmer?
Thank you. Before you go to the play tonight, you might want to go to the spaghetti feed, which is at the Filipino Community Hall. It's from 5 to 8. It's a fundraiser for the AWARE shelter, and there'll be lots of good food and fun and door prizes, and it's really inexpensive. Thanks.
And don't wear a white shirt. Any further announcements? Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to point the members' attention to the fact that today is the 75th day of the Love the Legislature, and keeping in tune with our governor's request to adjourn in 75 days, I move we adjourn.
Well, I don't know if that's frivolous or an improper motion. I don't know if it's dilatory, but it sounds like a good idea. Well, Representative Barnes, the adjournment motion, of course, for the first session is simply that. Boy, my dogs would be happy to see me. But I think that there's a few things we've got left to do. Representative Mackey, we have that motion on the floor.
Mr. Speaker, it was brought to my attention that as the youngest member, it was my responsibility. However, I think that it might be a little premature. I would respectfully request you allow me to withdraw my motion. Thank you.
Oh. Hearing objections, maybe procedurally we could amend that adjournment motion to the next... But that might cut somebody out on special orders, but that wouldn't be so bad, would it? Are there objections to Representative Mackey's withdrawing his motion to adjourn? Okay.
Don't ask twice.
Okay. So it appears the motion has been withdrawn. Thank you, Representative Mackey, to remind us that the 75th day is here, and I think it seems like it's longer for many of us. Any further general announcements? Special orders? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the permission of the body to speak on bill scheduling.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to let the representative from Craig know that since he's so intent on adjourning, I will forego scheduling any of his bills.
The representative has informed me that you have done that already. Any further announcements? Special orders?
Mr. Consent, we stand adjourned until 11 a.m. Monday.
11 a.m. Monday.